This isn't just a podcast about leadership. It's about the patterns that run us, the scripts we inherit, and the beliefs we reinforce without even realizing it. We've watched this work rekindle marriages, renew parents' connections with their kids, and reimagine the future of businesses. So if you've ever found yourself asking, "Am I becoming the person I'm supposed to be?" you're in the right place. This is In the Arena, conversations about what it really means to live and lead well. Today on In the Arena, I'm joined by Keith Butler, president and CRO of Observe Inc., the cloud observability company recently acquired by Snowflake in a deal valued at roughly $1 billion. In this conversation, Keith shares the leadership lesson that shaped his career across multiple high-growth startups. High performers are usually good at setting goals, but terrible at accurately assessing where they actually stand. If you misread your current reality, you fix the wrong problems. This episode is about finding the right mirror and building the kind of self-awareness that actually moves your career forward. And if you want additional context, examples, and practical ways to hold up a mirror to yourself, subscribe to our newsletter. To subscribe to the newsletter, go to door2.com/signup. We share more insights and tools there each week. All right, let's get into it. Welcome to In the Arena. My name is Sean Dyke, managing partner with Door 2. Joining me today is Keith Butler. Keith, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You bet. Now, always when we do these, we got to level set and ground. Who the heck is Keith Butler? Now, Keith in title is the president and chief revenue officer of Observe Inc., which is an incredible accomplishment in and of itself.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
And beyond that, for those listening or watching, ground us. Who is Keith? And for those people listening, who are they going to be listening to for the next 45 minutes?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's what I've done. I'm a tech exec. I spent, you know, my time selling and building a career in sales and leadership. And the most fun I've had is in building small companies, growing value and growing them up. And
there's a plural on that.
Yeah.
Companies.
Yeah, companies. Yeah, I've done it a few times.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm no spring chicken, as you can tell.
We're similar. So, you know, we both have an appropriate amount of gray in our beard that allows us to be in a good spot.
Yeah.
So, Keith, beyond tech expert, where else does the world bring you joy?
Yeah, well, I'm a Canadian. I love playing hockey, or at least watching hockey. I shouldn't say playing hockey. My kids will say, "Dad, you don't play hockey." I'm a parent and a husband, two amazing kids. They're in college, and I'm a pretty competitive guy. I grew up playing sports, and I did some triathlons and that kind of stuff to ward off my dragons. We're going to talk about my dragons.
We're going to talk about dragons.
Triathlons, another way of getting rid of those things.
We are. I always find when the whole dialogue of anything associated with leadership exists, mm-hmm. that you, parenting always comes into the equation. Always. Like a lot of the elements that we talk about on leading people, man, self, kids, spouses sometimes don't necessarily want to be led, but that shows up in that space for sure.
Yeah. Well, when you learn something about yourself and you reflect on where you applied error. Being a parent comes up pretty quickly.
Yeah, it does. Maybe even with a greater degree of resonance than being a leader in a professional context.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So decades.
Yeah.
Couple in building and leading successful businesses and teams. What does the world look like for you right now? What's the story right now?
Yeah, well, Observe's doing really, really well. We're growing like crazy, and the whole tech industry with AI is ripping right now. So things are super busy, and the future is bright, and everyone's pretty excited about what's going on at Observe.
Is your world heavier and more complex today than it was maybe when you started this journey X number of years ago? Or is it lighter and simpler?
Yeah, I don't think it's lighter and simpler. I wonder if it's more complex because I've made it so. But, but you know, the more you know, the more you realize you don't, maybe, you know?
Yeah.
But no, it's complex. The cycles are definitely faster.
Yeah.
You know, to be a professional these days, I believe is harder. You need to know more and be quicker and be more committed.
Yeah.
I think those are all true.
you know, one of the core things that we say, every one of our episodes opens with, that all growth starts with self-awareness. You believe that to be true?
I came to believe so, yes, unfortunately.
It hasn't always been a truism for you.
It has not. Yeah. I thought I didn't do anything wrong for the longest time. You know, it was everyone else's fault.
Fallacy of perfection, right? We have it all dialed in. So we hit points, well, many don't, but hopefully along this journey line, anybody that's listening to us is at least intrigued and interested enough to recognize that if we're really going to grow, we have to be willing to turn that lens inward. And one of the phrases that you use that's going to occupy the vast majority of our discussion today is this idea of having, recognizing, discovering, and then slaying our internal dragons, which is such a phenomenal metaphor. So we're going to chase it a lot, but do a macro framing for me on what do we mean by dragons?
Yeah. Well, you work really hard for a long time doing something. I did. And, you know, you get to a place where you seemingly hit this glass ceiling that I couldn't see. And, you know, I started questioning, you know, whether this was the right career for me. Is this the right, how much am I doing what I'm meant to be doing?
Yeah.
Thinking that, you know, I am what I am. And if I can't change, then it must be the external world in some way. And that idea of, you know, self-reflection, or that it's actually those things that are wrong, maybe me, easy to say. And it took me years to kind of really, and I actually continue to grapple with it and to take it deeper, to really understand the meaning of that. I've had people say things to me like, you know, in my company, anything that goes wrong is just a reflection of something I did, something I said, something I implemented. And I just, you know, to really kind of like pull that thread and understand it, that means like I did something.
Right.
That's me. Right. Like how? Like it's them.
It's incredibly vulnerable to be willing to potentially take that degree of ownership inside of it. Cause I'm not entirely bought into my be everything, but it's sure probably significantly more than we're willing to take ownership over.
Right.
If we're old enough, the Popeye reference was brilliant of I am what I am. walk at that a little bit more for me. What do we mean by I am what I am?
Well, so I am, you know, I tend to be a little bit of an introvert. Mm-hmm. I'm highly competitive. I want to win. In fact, I would say I probably need to win. My family would say I need to win. When I was like an individual contributor, a salesperson, most of that was kind of up to me. I could control my own environment and I could drive it. But as my career developed, I got into leadership. It actually started to break.
Yeah.
Actually, what I found was like, what's wrong with everybody? How come they can't grab a hold of this thing and drive it? You know, in my head, like me. And, and the more I pushed on it, the worse it got, the worse. And started. So the logical thing was, well, maybe I'm just not cut out for this.
How old are we in this? Was this 5 years ago, 20 years ago?
Oh, no, like this, let's call it getting up to 38, something like that.
Okay,
maybe
okay,
is a
good
guess. Yeah.
Something yep, like that. I like
yeah.
it. Some of the things that make us the most successful in our youth, in school, in sports, as an individual contributor or an IC, that asset package actually becomes a liability package as we move through that career further. And in that case, to your point, you oftentimes bump into a confrontation.
Yeah.
Is this me, something I can shape or do? Or is this because I'm going to occupy the thing we call the four deadly sins, blame, complain, defend, and justify,
right,
and push it on the external world around me?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember, I was working in a small company. We just got bought by a bigger one. And the first or second week we were with this company, they wanted me to go to this training session. And I was like,
leadership training session,
right? Oh boy, here we go. And so I go and you all were there. I met Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
And she ran me through, we were running through one of your programs. And the big thing I remember was she held a mirror up to me in the way that, you know, she and you all do.
Yeah.
And I was not comfortable with that reflection. In fact, I thought the mirror was broken. You know, it cannot be me. Which was kind of the start of that journey, actually. The start of, you know, and it took me a while to kind of like think about and reflect on and come to the fact that, yeah, that's actually me. And it's not a terrible thing. There's a lot of good there, but it's just, there's things I need to work on if I'm going to take my career to the next level. If I want to be, if I do want to be what I aspire to be.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of work here that has to happen.
There's so much inside of that. So there's a couple different things let's chat about for a second. Mm-hmm. So one is, as you said, holding up the mirror. It's one of the things that we tend to try to do, and we encourage leaders in any situation to do is, well, in an ideal world, you can hold up a mirror for self. So we can start there.
Yeah.
And then in an optimal space as well, we have that opportunity to hold up a mirror for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Now we were talking prior to this, and you said something that I loved. And so if you'll chase it a little bit,
okay.
You know, we were talking about this idea of that all growth starts with self-awareness. And then you had a vantage point on self-awareness and how others play a role in that. And I think that's part of what you're speaking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about that. So like I came to believe that actually self-awareness to the level, I always, if someone asked me, I'd say I'm self-aware,
mm-hmm.
but there's levels of self-awareness
mm-hmm.
to be able to like see inside to like understand why you're like you are as you're kind of speeding through life. I would say is impossible. You need third party intervention to kind of really evaluate at that level.
Can that be spouse? Can that be friend? Can that be, where does that need to come from?
I think it can for me. Professionally, it was Steph.
Yeah.
Who basically started me down this path and kind of became my person that I could reflect with.
Yeah.
All the time. Without emotion, right? It's kind of like the beautiful thing is it's like it's she's there without she's almost there to judge me.
Yeah.
That's kind of
and,
her
and judgment and if
she's
not having
she's not doing her job that I'm actually wanted to do, right?
Entirely.
So it's kind of like built into the relationship.
Yes. And judgment isn't a negative thing.
No.
Judgment is just like if you were trying to perfect a golf swing. And someone said, oh, you're over gripping or you're, you know, you're rolling your club face in or whatever the thing is that you're doing. They are judging you doing the thing you want to do and then giving you guidance to do it better. So
right. if you want that,
you have to choose that, right?
You have to choose you want it and you choose you want it by how bad you want the outcome.
Yeah.
Because the pain involved is not insignificant.
Yes.
You know?
So I want to take a step back on something because I think it's incredibly worth exploring. This idea of judgment.
Yeah.
As you framed it up with Steph, part of what you said is one of the benefits, one of the gifts, one of the, she would not be doing her job as if she wasn't judging. Now, you know this quite well as a senior leader in businesses, as a CEO and senior executive. Many of the people that may occupy those circles don't necessarily want to be judged. They want to be affirmed more than they want to be judged. In fact, most people want to be affirmed more than they want to be judged.
Feels good.
That hasn't always been the case for you. There was a point where being judged was not a goal, nor liked, nor desired. And then that shifted. Can you talk through that journey a bit?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I can speak for myself. I always assume, and maybe it's the wrong assumption, that some people are just natural. Some people are just good at leadership just because they're born that way. Now, the more senior I get, I realize it's probably not so true.
Not so true. Exactly.
And like, I would say I always believed I loved feedback. I grew up an athlete. I want feedback on my technique. And so in my head, I wanted feedback. What I came to realize is when I got it, I had this allergic reaction to it. And, I think it took, when the feedback got strong, when the outcome became kind of like clear, like mm-hmm. you have a choice to make.
Yeah.
You either continue to pursue this thing or you don't.
Yeah.
Because whatever's going on is stopping. You're left with a choice. How bad do I want it?
Yeah.
And unconsciously, I guess I wanted it bad enough that I was willing to go through the pain of being judged. And setting a goal to try to fix those things. at least to point myself in the right direction. So I had a chance.
There's a book called The Last Lecture. Any chance you know it? No, Randy Posh.
No.
It's a gentleman that got pancreatic cancer, and it's an incredible storyline in it. But he has a phrase in there that he says, you will frequently have brick walls put in front of you in life, and they exist for one reason and one reason only, for you to understand how badly you want what's on the other side.
Yeah.
And if you want what's on the other side, you're going to find a way through it, around it, under it in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, yeah.
So you now seek judgment.
Well, it's like I don't know, Peter Senge's the fifth discipline stuff, yeah. Right? So in that book, I love the section on, like, I talk to my team about it all the time. If you want something, if there's a vision, a goal you want to accomplish, understanding that goal is clear. We're all pretty good at goal setting as our type A personalities. We can set goals. The harder part is, like, but you got to know where you are. Like, you got to know, I think he calls it current reality. You got to know, like, what your baseline is. Because if you don't know where you are, you don't know what to fix.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're delusional about where you are, which is your mirror, you start fixing the wrong things that only lead to frustration, because you're not getting closer to your outcome. And you kind of know.
Yeah.
Your brain just kind of knows. It makes these maps, I think.
And then also understand, what percentage of that can I influence and control? And how do I want to work on me to get there?
Right. Well, and there's, like, you know, he talks about a tension being built between the goal and the current reality.
Yeah.
And there's a couple ways to relieve the tension. One is to, like, set out one step at a time, getting closer to the vision, the tension goes down. The other one is just change the goal.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't want that anymore.
Yeah.
Right. And both are okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's up to you.
Yep.
I just wasn't unwilling to release the tension by changing the goal. I wanted the goal bad. And like I say, maybe I needed it. And so therefore the only path I saw after Steph showed me was to fix the current reality.
So once you get to that, you now have a choice you need to make. And if I heard you correctly, which I just want you to chase for is the choice came from this recognition that I was unwilling to let go of the attainment of that goal.
Mm-hmm.
And so that compelled you. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
The vast majority of the world has a hard time making that choice.
Mm.
How did you make the choice? Why did you make the choice?
No, I don't know.
I love that.
I don't really know. I mean, because I wake up in the morning and it's what I think about. It's what keeps me up. It's like, where do I go with this thing if it's not that?
I actually wonder, did you even feel like you had optionality here? Or did it feel like that was the only choice?
Well, I mean, logically,
of course,
we have options. But I didn't see one that was clear for me. And maybe the beauty of, like, actually, once you start down the path of self-reflection and trying to get a hold of those dragons, you realize it's actually not that bad.
Yeah,
you get good at it. You get better at kind of listening. You get better at kind of absorbing the punch. You learn not to have an emotional freak out and kind of, like, sit with it for a bit and then kind of let your brain kind of figure out how to map around it. And then you start to come up with solutions, and then you're like, oh, and I saw a result, you know, I did something different because I didn't like that. And I saw a result, and then you can kind of start to get addicted to it.
Yeah. What else is possible if I'm able to turn the lens on myself and adjust into?
Yeah, I'll give you a really good example, just like on me and one of the things I learned. So I tend to live in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I like being competent.
Yeah.
Okay. So I do a lot of things to be very competent and to do them thoughtfully. When someone questions me, I don't see here a question of the deliverable I created or something. I see them questioning me. Okay. That's my initial thing. And I used to just lose it. Just right. And then I'd say, I like feedback. It's like, hold on, cowboy. Like, the feedback is just, you know, it's right. So that became the dragon, because there's a downward spiral in that reaction from me.
Yes.
About something that I did that actually erodes my chance of getting to the goal. The communication dies. Trust goes down with people. Communication kind of fades.
Okay. So I know you have, exposure to it and, people that are listening or watching, if they listen to the previous three episodes on this, our exploration of PCM, process communication model.
Mm-hmm.
And they would know the linkage you're talking to in it as well is that thinker personality
right.
type.
Yeah.
Where we have this strong desire to be experienced and perceived as competent. And if we're not being perceived as competent, that invites a defense mechanism
right.
that shows up, the dragon that mm-hmm. shows up. And
there
that defense mechanism starts firing, that breath gets roaring, the fire comes out, and an unconscious protection of competency of self. Your journey helped you create awareness to the fact that that was happening and I need to do something about that.
That's right.
You and I were talking earlier and I'd said one of the challenges we often have in the work that we get to do is we tend to work with pretty successful folks and their success is predicated on a pattern that has served them.
Right.
That's even more challenging to recognize the pattern that I have leveraged, the asset that I have used is not serving me. And I now need to not only stop that, but I got to replace it with something else.
Mm-hmm.
That takes a minute.
Yeah.
Where did you begin? What did you start looking toward?
I don't know. Little bits over time.
Sure.
I think, you know, like first is like the recognition of that feeling. Someone told me once, you know, count to seven before you react. Yeah. I almost got it tattooed on my wrist.
Nice. Yeah, 7 second pause. That's right.
How you actually show up actually makes a big difference.
Yeah.
No matter how I'm feeling, like how I show up is important. Start to pick apart little things like I live in my head, meaning like I'm angling everything that could go wrong on everything. Okay. So, but that comes, it feels like a protection.
Yes.
Okay. But, Steph and I worked on just like allowing my gut, my intuition, the thing I've developed over all these years in my career to actually like stop thinking and start to kind of get the feet yeah. moving and move in the right direction. That's a skill that like I had to practice and learn. And if I get under pressure, if I get tired, I kind of start to fall back.
Yeah.
So it's just like, for me, just learning all these little things.
Yes.
That kind of all accumulate to, I hope, a better way of executing.
Yeah. The decision paralysis that can get present when we're trying to make the right decision or do things correctly.
Because I don't want to be judged as incompetent.
Yes.
So yeah. There I got to be right.
Yeah.
But I don't really got to be right. Sometimes
right.
I just got to move fast.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
We talk a lot about sort of the complexity of externalizing self-worth,
mm-hmm.
right? Where we associate our self-worth with them, they, whomever them or they is, and their judgment on us in some way, shape, or form, and how authentically debilitating that can be in a variety of ways when we give stewardship of our state over to those around us. That's a dangerous place to play. Yet you're never fully going to get rid of that.
Right.
People's vantage points and opinions, they matter and they should matter, especially people in close in our circle and what we do. So something you and I talked a little about before we flipped on cameras as well was I'd asked you, is there sort of a taxonomy of dragons? Are there those that are slay worthy? They need to be exiled from the city. Are there those that you would say need to be befriended, that it's not about total removal of them, but it's knowing about how to domesticate them?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, there are, not to put an analogy on top of an analogy, but like, they're like ceilings. They're glass ceilings. You can't see them, the dragons. Some of them you need to break through.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them you need to kind of figure out how to live within.
Yeah.
And I think that's absolutely, absolutely true.
Yeah. My example that I give in those kind of situations is if I have a really overdeveloped sense of insecurity that is just holding me back from the things that I'm doing, I'm massively conflict avoidant. I am so averse to situations that can create discomfort. That insecurity is probably slay worthy.
Yeah.
On the flip side, if I have this tendency to be an overachiever and I really have this strong achievement drive. Well, we don't want to eradicate that. You don't want to slay that one,
no.
But we do need to domesticate it. We need to help understand like it's operating a little out of control. Like let's figure out how to rein that thing in a little bit. And to your point, I actually like the analogy of it's a bit of a glass ceiling because it also makes it really difficult for us to see it,
right.
Which ties back into that space of sometimes we do need others to help us hold up a mirror for us and give us some visibility to the thing that we may not be seeing in it.
Again, just one on that one is like, okay, so an example of one that doesn't need to be slayed, but needs to be tamed is like, okay, so because I'm a thinker in your terminology, I create pretty good deliverables. I kind of, I have typically good thought. I can teach.
Yeah.
Okay. However, the downside of that is sometimes I'm reluctant to kind of like show up with a lot of power. And so like, I had to kind of like, okay, those things are true, right? Those are true about me, but what can I do? One thing I figured out how to do is I really worked on storytelling,
mm-hmm.
so that like I could take this competence and turn it into a story that I could kind of tell and engage a room in.
Yeah.
That was kind of all me. It wasn't bullshit. It was all me.
Real,
it was real me. Yep. And I was consciously using influence.
Yes.
To do something that wasn't totally natural for me.
Everyone has dragons.
Right.
If you think you don't, you probably do. And that's when we allow someone to show us that, you're walking around with us.
Right.
And I think that what we have found in a lot of our work is that it's not uncommon for someone to be able to come to us and say, hey, in their words, I have a dragon. I'm not exactly sure what to do about it. I don't know what to do about it.
Yep.
Once I become aware of it, man, do I have the self-control, desire, discipline, need? We talked about need before as well, to actually put the effort toward working through it. What I heard you say and what I would support entirely is one of the coolest parts about it is when you apply something and an outcome shifts,
yeah,
you can, to your point, almost get a little addicted to, oh my gosh, what else didn't I know,
right,
that I can be doing and moving myself toward that? And awareness of that often comes with supportive entities around us. Working your way through it, talk to me about like support. You've talked about Steph as a great piece of support. Did you rely on significant others, kids, other systems to help give you feedback or guide you in shaping that?
Well, yeah, first my family gives me lots of feedback.
Unsolicited feedback, don't they?
Yeah. When I really don't want it, when I really don't want it. But it's important, important, critical feedback. Even like the feedback of sticking with me through all of this is important feedback unto itself. One thing I learned was, like, you know, I'm a work in process and my team at work has to be okay with working through those things with me as I'm doing them. And I found, you know, being upfront about it, being on a journey together actually helps. It makes it okay. Not when, you know, if I do something, sometimes I will recognize and say, hey, I think I did this, or they will say, hey,
heads up,
come on.
Yeah.
Right.
You're doing that thing you do.
You're doing that thing. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, okay, you're right.
Yeah.
And in the moment, sometimes I'm like, this is not the moment I'm really feeling like feedback, but you know, you try and come to it after. So yeah, I'd say like, it takes a village, and you somehow surround yourself with people that are willing to put up with you as you go through, and maybe they see something there that they can't get. And maybe think that you can help them and they're willing to put up with it long enough for you to figure it out. And I'm blessed to say that like I have people around me.
You have that. Recruiting those fellow dragon slayers in that process.
Yeah.
For sure.
Recruiting a family and
a
coach and a CEO and a team that's willing to put up with me.
So is there a daily or weekly practice that you pause and reflect and look at where you are in contrast to where you want to be?
So one thing I started doing over time, I don't know when, was, you know, as I'm going through my day, I just, after the meeting, I just have quick, couple quick questions for myself. Did I add there? Or did I make it worse? Did I make the thing better that I was trying to do, or did I make it worse? Did I add to that person's, to their day, or did I take away from
right.
it? And if a couple meetings start to pile up where the results are negative, I will ask my assistant, hey, I need you to clear a couple things for me, 'cause I'm actually not helping right now.
Yeah.
So I find it really helpful to kind of like just think about this on an ongoing basis, kind of almost one interaction at a time. Am I achieving the little goal I set to achieve? Or even if I didn't set one, did I make a positive input there?
Yeah.
And self adjusting. And sometimes I'm on a roll. Some days I'm just like, great, boom, boom, great, great. Let's keep them coming. Let's keep it going. 'Cause I feel like I could go
set
all
them up,
day.
Knock them down.
Set right. them up, knock them down. Yeah. I think that's for me the most kind of immediate level of feedback that I get.
Old thought leader in this space, Earl Nightingale, says success is the progressive realization of a worthy goal.
Mm.
It is sequentially, incrementally evolving and moving for it. And so, you know, I have this note to ask you about, and then it's kind of funny. Like, I have life after the dragon. Like, it's this curiosity. I'm like, well, what does transformation look like? And as I'm thinking about that, well, it really doesn't happen that way, does it? It's not like all of a sudden the dragon's gone and we've transformed. What would be apparent about you in the way they experience you today than they might have pre-mirror?
Well, as I was sitting here, I was thinking, imagine people who worked for me or with me 10 years ago watching this going, what the fuck is that guy? Yeah,
that's not who he is. That guy's like, an ass.
What's he talking about? You know? Those would be where I'd start. Sorry, guys.
My bad. Took a minute. And had to, I was learning. I was learning. Yeah. Thank you for helping me learn.
That's right. Yeah. I don't know how I show up. I try to be, I guess one way is, I learned through this thing to try to listen for understanding versus like the confirmation of the thing I already have decided I know.
Yep.
And I think I show up better when I'm in that place and I do it more often.
Yep.
I'd say that's a big one.
Huge.
I don't know. I hope, I have a highly effective team, and at least we believe we are.
Sure.
I think people want to be on it, and that's that
strong indicator. Service.
Yeah.
Yeah. Incredibly strong indicator.
And the people around me are achieving amazing things. And although, you know, I'm just setting the environment for them to do it, I feel like they're doing the best work of their lives. And that's, you know, that's really cool.
Sure. And Stephanie told me you don't celebrate that well, so
I don't.
Make sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's another piece in that, right?
That's
knowing
right.
To take that win. I mean, because that does. I mean, A, the awareness of it, the effort in it, the confrontation of self, looking at that mirror on a daily basis and moving in the direction of it. You started talking about a little bit. And so the last thing that I wanted to focus you on for a second is, it's one thing to hold that mirror up for self or have a mirror held up for self and work on it. But one of the gifts, responsibilities, burdens that we have as a leader is helping those around us recognize that they too have some dragons that they're with.
Yeah.
How have you started walking at that and approaching that and trying to help others see it? And how's that working out?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one way of looking at this is like, you actually get good at the process of self-evaluation more than the evaluation of the thing you're evaluating. Mm-hmm, so like you kind of recognize the pattern of self-evaluation. And I always say, once you turn a light on in a dark room, like for me, I can't turn it off. So once I started evaluating myself, I became very good at evaluating others.
Yeah.
And actually the first step in that was like, not to react like they should know the things that I've spent years trying to figure out for myself. It's like, dude, come on. This person is early in their career and working and like, it just, you know, I have to, okay, you know, this is meet them where they are type of thing and try, but that's hard in this, because these things come in frustration. They come in tension. They come when things are hot and so on. So that's good. But you know, so I think I've gotten better and better and better at, you know, holding mirrors up for people. And, you know, when you see something, when someone wants something so bad, they want it maybe as bad as I want it, and they're not getting it, you know, and you can see the ceiling, the glass ceiling or their dragon sitting in front of them.
Because it's now visible to you.
I can see it.
Yeah.
You see it. And if it wasn't there, I know how amazing it could be for them.
Yeah.
And then you put the mirror up and it's like, whoa, oh, they didn't want to see that. That was not that I either executed that terribly or they were not ready for that mirror.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's a learning how to do that. I mean, you guys, this is what you guys do.
Yeah.
It's a work in process for me, but like, that's you. So, you know, I think the first thing is, I always go back to how bad do you want it? And I've worked with some amazing people that want it so bad, they're willing to go down that journey and the change they make is like remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
And they should be super proud. And others, you know, you show them, they can't make the change. They don't want to make the change. They're not ready and they run away. And sometimes they really run away. And, I guess that's life.
Yeah.
You know, and I start to look at like, who wants to go on this journey? Who wants to go on this journey with me? I'm trying to improve me. Are you ready to try to take that to the next level with yourself? Because that's how we're both going to grow. And I love that. That's real, you know, it's real feedback.
Not much needs to be said for that one. That's incredible.
Yeah.
One of the things that used to just drive me batty was people's unwillingness to allow people to learn. Why is it it's you, you know, 24-year-old marketing associate, you don't have the learned experience that I do as a 51-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
We have to allow them to go through that journey. And to your point, I will absolutely tell you it is my experience, it's Steph's experience, it's your experience, it's anybody in our firm's experience where one of the incredible blessings about focusing on this is you do increase your ability to see the dragons, those glass ceilings floating around people.
Oh yeah.
And the challenge is sitting with them because it takes time.
Takes
we don't
time.
Get to slay them and you can't slay them for them. They have to slay their own.
Right.
And helping them create exposure, awareness, supporting them, daily rituals and routines that reinforce those need states. And then doing probably one of the most powerful things that you talked about that I didn't want to gloss over, that is being vulnerable enough to acknowledge that you're also working through it, growing, figuring it out. It creates space for those around you to acknowledge it as well, even as difficult as it is.
Yeah.
Because you know, the 26-year-old man, you probably wasn't all that willing to sit in a training class and hear about the fluffy stuff,
right,
as people call it.
Yeah, the fluffy stuff, exactly. Well, yeah. And I will say, like, I am amazed at our young leaders, like, you know, their capacity for this stuff, like 15 years before I was ready for it. Like sometimes I'm like, how old are you? You're 33 and you know that about yourself already? That is incredible.
Yeah.
And I actually feel really strongly about that like their ability to be self-aware and their openness to do it and to put in the work to get there at a much earlier age than I was able to maybe, is pretty remarkable.
Incredible with it. Yeah. I don't know that, man, it's
that that's a thing like that you see across the board.
It's what I was going to speak to. And that's probably a whole episode in and of itself where it almost feels like there's an extreme polarity in this, where if you want to improve self these days, sound like an old guy saying that, but if you want to improve self, access to the ability to be better through a myriad of resources, there's just a plethora of them. So if you're struggling or navigating through something, you can query all kinds of data sources to learn more. So I think we see those folks that do have that penchant toward learning and self-improvement and want to do better on those things, they have it, it's there. At the same time, your ability to reinforce your own echo chamber has probably never been stronger either. So if you don't want to do that and you want to blame the world on some other system or reason or person, the rage machine in some way, shape or form, man, you can do that as well. And there's some work around the arrested development of self-awareness because societally, things just work different now in the way we interact. And so there are more reinforcement mechanisms to stop you from growing. So, man, I would say we see a polarity in those two things. If you want to learn and grow, it's accessible to you at a rate more than it's ever been. And if you don't, you can also bury your head if you want to.
Yeah, it's amazing because, like, I always figured, well, it's my experience that gives me the ability to open the doors to do this stuff. And in fact, but when super young people are doing it, I'm like, no, it's actually access to information and clarity that of their goals that actually kind of opens that door to much younger age. Can you imagine where those people will be when they,
when
they get them age? It's going to be incredible.
And it begins with a willingness of am I even going to look at it? And so actually that's, I think the last question I wanted to ask around this was, I guess first wanted to again, say authentically, thank you. Flew out here, hanging out with us, spending the time. Really appreciate it. I know Observe is doing some incredible things right now, and it's not like you're not a busy man in this moment.
No, I really appreciate it. It's important to me, so thank you.
Yes, and the willingness to really share your insights and perspectives on it. And so last ask I'm going to have for you, so you can think on if you want to here, is somebody's listening. They suspect they have a dragon. What's the first thing they do?
Well, let's start with assuming that you have one.
Yeah. Because you probably even
if, and if you don't know it, then you just don't know it's there. Because I would think that everyone can, you know, everyone can always get better and probably leaps and bounds better.
Yeah.
I would say figure out someone to hold up a mirror for you. How are you going to get real feedback? And I would say from science or from research or from some grounded truth versus an emotional opinion. Which can be dangerous. If the current reality is painted wrong, then your map is going to be very different. So you got to be super careful about who you allow to kind of give you this type of
feedback.
Back
to the saying, hey, pace.
That's right.
If we start from the wrong place.
Start from the wrong place, we're going to go the wrong direction. I would say that. And then there's just like some fundamental kind of like pillars that I lean on. I mentioned one, like, you know, just listen to understand versus listen with all kinds of the judgment. Things like that you can read in popular writing.
Sure.
Like there's infinite access to information and like be a sponge in just learning and you'll start to put the puzzle together.
Love it. Keith, deep, authentic appreciation for it. Looking forward to what happens next in your world and bumping into each other in life as we continue. So appreciate the growth journey.
Thanks,
incredibly glad you and Stephanie found one another. And
me too.
Onward.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.